Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Here we go again. Remember, I am now committed to the idea that we are gods in the making, and that we need to know this. So from now on, so I'm no longer on this plane of action, I am going to be talking about you people and myself being gods. As we said earlier, as I said earlier, that is absolutely in the Bible. Know that ye are gods. No one wants to take the responsibility for that, and no institution wants to take the responsibility for that. So we have to take the responsibility for ourselves. This idea of God is the highest idea that man has been able to come up with. We have within our own thinking, within our own minds, the capacity to move up in consciousness, to move up to a God consciousness, so that we are able to think God thoughts after it. Because we know that we live and we move and we have our being in the mind of God. And the more we are able to convince ourselves, we are always convincing our own mind of something. Convincing ourselves either of the truth or a fact or something that's not truthful. It's always up to us. It's an absolute choice of how you want to think. So, we can go through the whole idea that we are one with God. If we say that God is all there is, then we must be some part of that. And if we're some part of that and God is all there is, then we must be coming gods ourselves. We have to be able to have this power inside of us. And we have to be able to find that. Because we all want successful lives on this plane of action. Why wait till the next life? Why wait any longer than you already have waited for good things to come into your life? And one of the ways that good things can come into your life is knowing that you are a God in the making and that you are a creator or a co-creator with this thing called God. That you are creating your reality with your thinking, with your beliefs, with your viewpoints, and with your attitudes. And any of these can be changed, that we have the ability to change our minds. That's the whole premise of religious science. Change your mind, change your life. And we say to you, it's very easy to change your mind, which is true. Very difficult to keep it changed. There comes the rub. You must keep your mind on good. If during the course of the day you can see nothing but good, you will receive nothing but good. And as you keep adding on to that day after day after day, and you see only good will be able to come to you. Because you're building a consciousness of good. We do not see with our eyes, we see with our mind. We think that the world stinks. We think all kinds of things about the world because we listen to the news. And we say, look at all the bad stuff that is going on in the world. Therefore, the world must be a bad place. I'm here to tell you that the world is not a bad place. And that only 5% of bad stuff is going on. And that is what the news media is giving you. 95% of this good stuff is never talked about. Because they have to be sensational. And our mind likes drama. It likes sensationalism. It likes to delve into all those ugly things. Why? I don't know. But you have to know that this is true. Look at television at the present moment. There's one CIS program after the other. It's all about cops and robbers and people getting killed. Well, I don't know a cop. Maybe you people do. We're here at the police station. I guess we could go out and introduce ourselves. Nor do I know a robber. But what am I fed if I turn on the television? Cops and robbers, cops and robbers, cops and robbers. all kinds of bad, ugly stuff that's happening to people. And if you watch that long enough, you start to believe that that's all there is in the world. You have to know that that's, again, only 5%. There is 95% good. I had a friend years ago, her name was Mrs. Gooch. She said to me, "Dallas, there is always enough good to cover up the bad." So always look for the good. This thing called God, this consciousness, this God consciousness, is good. It's God, good are the same things. God, good, God, good. So look for the good. Where would you think you would start if you wanted to look for the good?
In yourself.
Absolutely. Thank you, people. Now my heart just rose because you got that right. It's always going to start with you. What are you thinking about yourself? All right. Turn to your friend there and say, "I offer myself the kindness that I would offer a loved one."
"I offer the kindness I'd offer my, I'd offer myself the kindness that I'd offer a loved one."
"I offer myself the kindness that I'd offer a loved one."
And I offer myself the kindness I would offer to a loved one. Very important to do this for yourself. You see, we always want to offer somebody else something. We always want to offer them all the good stuff. Why don't you start doing that for yourself and being kind to yourself? I love the little ditty, "Take good care of yourself. You belong to me. I belong to myself. So I'm going to take good care of myself." But we fail to do this. You have to start to fall in love with yourself. So if you start with the premise that all you are is God, but you are not all that God is, and then you start in that little mind, that mind chatter, telling you how horrible you are and all this, what are you doing? You're saying God's no good. You're saying God's no good. So you see, you have to give up that critical mind. You have to give up all those little things, which your mind is very convincing, and it wants to tell you this and convince you that you are this individual or this bad person or this, that, or the other thing that it's telling you. You are not those things. You cannot be those things. You cannot come from something that's perfect and be imperfect, because something that's perfect cannot make something that's imperfect. So you come from this thing called God. You come from this energy, from this intelligence, from this life. So you have to be good, you see. So when your mind starts to tell you all that silly stuff, tell it to shut up. Tell it to go back to the nothing from whence it came. It has never been your friend. It has never brought you any good news whatsoever. Stop listening to it. Start seeing yourself as the wonderful individual that you are. Start seeing yourself as that. Okay. Now, this whole month we're talking about wealth of all kinds, but mostly because of money. Everyone wants money. We said many things about money. Does anyone have an idea exactly what they mean by wealth? I have a definition that I use for wealth, and it is this: I would like to have enough money to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, as many times as I want to do it, and with whom I want to do it. That is my definition of being wealthy. You may make anyone up yourself. What is your definition of wealth? If you don't know what wealth is and you don't have a definition of wealth, how are you going to get there? How are you going to arrive at that? So, figure out for yourself what you want from your money. What do you want your money to do for you? You're saying. So, have enough money to do what you want, when you want to do it, as many times as you want to do it, and with whom you want to do it. But you have to get the idea. It's all. And we said last week, we finally discovered what? That money is consciousness. Why is money consciousness? Because everything is consciousness. There's nothing but consciousness. So we're always working on our consciousness. We're always trying to raise our consciousness to become aware of something about ourselves, something good about ourselves. We have to be able to find the good within ourselves. Very easy, isn't it, to find the bad? You know every little blip on the screen that tells you that you're not perfect. If I say to you something, your mind goes, yes, but if he only knew this part of me, if he only knew this, if he only knew that. I don't want to know those parts of you. I want to hold you in love. I want to see you through the eyes of love. I want to see you through the eyes of perfection and so forth, so that you can start to see yourself as that. So when you walk by a mirror, you go, ooh, striking. Isn't that a wonderful human being? You know, this is what you want, instead of running from the mirror and saying, who is that ugly person in there? That nasty person who did this, this, and this. What you did in the past, forget it. You can start over any moment, at any time. Your past has nothing to do with life whatsoever, unless you keep dragging it into the present. Don't do that to yourself. Let the past be there. That's why we call it the past. It's in the past. Never look behind, you see. Pretend you're on a motorboat and you're going straight ahead. You're never looking at the wake you're making behind you. You don't want to see that. You want to go straight for what you're doing. And the only way you do that is what? Sit down and love yourself and forgive yourself and start all over again. I've started over so many times, make your head swim, but I just keep doing it. Because one day I'm going to get it right. And one day my mind's going to say, Dallas, you are this wonderful human being. You see? What do we know about that? We know that we are not our minds. If you don't know that by now, please learn that and learn it quickly. Your mind is just a tool that you're using. It is yours to use. It is not you. You are not your computer. Therefore, you are not your mind. So you have to program your mind to think the thought that you want to think. And you have to be able to feel the feeling that you want to feel. That's what it's all about. Okay, I have some cards. I'm going to go right into the cards because, you know, tonight, excuse me, August isn't here, but it's questions and answers. So I'm going to take questions and answers. But I want to wrap up a few things over the week. Okay, let's do. I said this last week, I think. There are as many routes to richness as there are belief systems. Come up with your own individual route to riches. Because people have it in mind, oh, I can't spend a dime, I have to be tight-fisted, I have to be this, that, or thing, and then I'll save all this money and I'll be rich. There are a lot of spendthrifts that are very wealthy. Why? Because it's a belief system. The more money they spend, the more money they get. What kind of belief system do you have about money? I put those old treatments on the table simply because they always start with God as source and supply is non-ending. God is the source and substance of my supply. You have to start with that premise. You have to start with the premise. You are starting with the premise is if I get a better job and I make all this money, then I'll be rich. You have to start with the idea that God is the source and the supply, that God is the substance, that money and everything else that you're working for is a side effect. It's an add-on, people. And you keep trying to make it the main event. It is never going to be the main event. The main event is always going to be your belief system and your consciousness. If you seek first the kingdom of heaven, all else shall be added to you. What is your belief about money? Is money always freely circulating in your life? You see. The other little one that I have written on the top of there, which is a Florence Shin, by the way, My supply comes from God, and big happy financial surprises come to me under grace in perfect ways. I have never failed to do this every day. And every day I go to the mailbox looking for money, not for bills. Why? Because big happy financial surprises come to me. Big happy financial surprises come to me. Do you know that for yourself? That's a belief system. You have to set that belief system in work for you. I told you last week about those little figurines that I like. And I'll tell you the price on those figurines are $475. I don't have $475. When I looked at them, I didn't have $475 to spend on those. But as soon as I hooked it with my stomach and liked them so much, I knew that the money would have to come. So it's all dribbled in. So it was all up on, I think it was Friday. All of a sudden, my friend Tom called, and he said to me, "Can you come over? I just moved. I need your help hanging pictures and doing this, that, and the other thing. Could you come and help me?" And I said, "Well, yes, I can come and help you." And he added, "I'll pay you." So I thought, "Well, this is nice. I'm getting paid." So I thought to myself, $100 would be nice. I could use $100 and I'd have enough to buy these little figurines. I would add on to the money that was coming in. So you always keep in mind, you say $100 or more. So I got there at 11 o'clock and I left at 3. That's 4 hours. He said to me, "Would $150 be all right?" I said, "It would be gracious plenty. Thank you very much."
There you go.
Yes, there I go. Now, I didn't buy the figurines yet because I may decide to do something else. But the thing that I'm trying to explain to you is once you need something and you want something and you desire something and you get that gut feeling. Now, see, I even saw them on the table. You know, I've been placing them around my house where they're supposed to be. Then the money has to come. The money has to come to bring that to you. There's the check he wrote to me. I didn't even take it to the bank yet. So, Laurie's going to tell us why that works.
I'm sorry, what?
You're going to tell us why that works.
This is more?
This or more, but if you want something, you don't. Remember, money is never the issue. It's the wanting, it's the desiring, it's the feeling that throws it out into the universe. Now, the universe has to bring that back to you, and it brings it back in money form. But you know why that works. Absolutely.
Okay, thought it was a new question. This or more, you can do. It is done to you according to your belief, and God opens your process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you build a belief system about money and around money, the one that you want, not the one that I have. You can borrow mine, but you have to believe it. Everything is done with belief. What did Jesus, one of the master teachers, say? Your belief has made you well. He didn't say, "I made you well." He didn't say, "God made you well." He said, "Your belief has made you well." It's always going to be your belief. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Use your financial interactions and their results as feedback on how true you are to your beliefs. How true you are to your beliefs. Now, I had to immediately write $150. Huh, isn't that a financial surprise? Wasn't that a big, to me, that was a big financial surprise. So, did that not prove one of my beliefs? You have to not discount things, and then with your belief, you have to see. Use your financial interactions and their results as feedback back on how true you are to your beliefs. How many people, well, I'll never have the money for that. I'll never get the money for that. That's out of my reach. I wouldn't pay $475 for two little figure rings. That's entirely too expensive. That's nuts. That's this. That's that. Well, I doubt you're going to get them with an attitude like that. But it's your belief system that's doing it. So what is one of the, what would be another wonderful belief system? Two figurines, yes.
Well, I just have an idea that I deserve to have the best. I deserve to have.
Yes. So you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. Let's do the matter game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes, know those things about yourself. Know that you deserve those things. It doesn't matter if somebody else thinks they're too expensive or doesn't want them. It's what you want in life. So it's your belief system that's going to do it. So the belief around money is that you have to do it a certain way. No, you don't have to do it a certain way. You do it your way. But you make an affirmation, you make a belief system, you start a system of what? I have enough money to take care of myself for the rest of my life. I have enough money to take care of myself for the rest of my life. How many people, oh, I'll never have enough money, I'll never have enough money. Remember, it's the enoughness. You must always know that you have enough. Regardless, if you only have a penny, you must look at that penny and say, I have enough. If you say, I don't have enough, you're going to get the penny taken from you. If you have enough, that penny is going to grow and grow and grow. So it's an attitude always of enoughness, you see. Always have that attitude of enoughness. The greatest gift you can give yourself, your wealth, and your life is to lighten up. Yeah. Lighten up about this whole thing. Many people want money, but they're so stressed out over money that it's not going to come to them. When you stress out, you're pushing the door closed instead of allowing it to open to bring the gifts to you. And I know that the world is convincing, and when you don't have any money, when it seems like no money's around, you get stressed out and you think, what's going to happen to me? This, that, and the other thing. As soon as you stop that foolishness, money starts to come to you again. So it's building your consciousness. It's building your belief system of what do you think money is. Money is energy going out from me to do good in the world. And since my money goes out and does good in the world, good has to return to me. It has to return to me. How many people are still writing, God bless and multiply this money quickly on their checks? You have to write that so that the money comes back to you. Because we're taught that once money's gone, it's gone. Nothing is ever gone in the universe. Nothing can be lost in the universe. So we live in an abundant universe. Know and be happy and excited about paying your bills. The more energy of happiness and gratefulness that you can put in to paying your bills, the faster they'll get paid, the more you'll like yourself, and the more money will come to you. But if you start to begrudge anything, it slows down the circulation and it doesn't circulate back to you. I think we talked about slow payers. I know lots of people with money and they hate to give it up. I call them slow payers. They'll eventually pay you, but you're going to have to wait until the mood strikes them. You know, don't do that to people or to yourself. Prosperity, like a relationship and all of life, is founded on authenticity. When you are lined up with who you are and what you believe, things have a way of working out. It has to do with authenticity. Sometimes I use the word sincerity. You have to be authentic about your belief system, authentic about this teaching. Does this teaching work? I absolutely believe it works. Ernest Holmes said, you know, it's not a get-rich-quick scheme, but it will make you wealthy. It'll make you anything you want if you know how to use it. All next month, we're going back to basics, and we're going to talk about the law. Up one side and down the other, to everyone realizes not only that you are becoming a god, but there is a law in the universe that we can use, the law of mind, the law of attraction. Because we keep forgetting. We forget that that's always operating. You cannot think without the law going into operation. So if the law always goes into operation and comes back to you, don't sit around with poor consciousness. Don't sit around thinking poverty. Years ago, probably 100 by now, Charles Fillmore, the founder of Unity, stood up at a convention and he said, "It is a sin to be poor." Of course, he emptied that place out too. Because Christianity teaches that God loves the poor. And it keeps you in that little rut of being poor. You think you're closer to God being poor. Now, for God's sake, do you think God's poor? I don't think so. I don't think so. Don't do that to yourself. You see, it is a sin to be poor. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, "Man was born to be rich, or inevitably grows rich, by the use of his faculties, by thinking, by using this mind correctly. You bring money and success into your life. It's all done with your thinking." It's always going to be the thinking. It's always going to be the consciousness. And we have to learn to use this law to bring what we want into our lives. We give up on that. We give up on the law. As soon as I saw those figurines, I put the law into operation. Now, I can get those figurines if I want. Now I'm thinking other things. You see, that's the next thing to remember. You don't have to take everything that comes. We live in an abundant universe. I don't have to, you know, I don't have to take everything that comes. I may see something better. But use this. Use a little experiment like that. Could your mind produce, in a week's time, $475?
Yes, it could.
Yes. Your mind can do that for you. So you strive with something like that, then you say, oh, well, if it can do that, it has to be able to do 4,000. Then it has to be able to do more, 8,000, 10,000, 20,000. You see, the universe doesn't know zeros. If it can give you 400, it can give you 40,000. It doesn't know the difference. Doesn't know the difference. What knows the difference? Your mind, your thinking. And you say, that's too much. How many people still say that's too much instead of more, please? Don't ever say that's too much. If people are giving you something, I hear people say, oh, that's too much. That's too much. No, it's not too much. There was a young man, hasn't been here for the longest time. The last time I think I remember seeing him was at Rhoda's house over Christmas. He really liked his teaching and so forth. I ran into him recently and I said to him, his name's John. I said, John, you really look good. You've lost weight. You must have been working out. He looked at me and he said, oh no, I'm just wearing bigger clothes. That's what it makes me look like, to make me look like this. I said, hold on one moment. I said, I just gave you a compliment and you just threw it right back at me. You did not accept that. You did not let it go through. Then he said to me, yes, I have lost weight and I'm working out at a gym. I said, well, then say, thank you for noticing. You see, you can't do that to yourself. You have to be able to say, yes, I'm a wonderful person. Yes, I've lost weight. Yes, thank you for noticing. I look good. But we don't do that. We have to train ourselves to do that. But how many times do we say, that's too much? This is too much. Never do that to yourself. Say more, please. People are giving you food. Oh, that's too much. Don't put that on my plate. Oh, towel up. If I don't need it, then I'll throw it away. No, because we stop ourselves constantly. If I came over and I said to you, gave somebody $10, I'd say, here's $10. Oh, thank you. Here's $1,000. Oh, that's too much. I go, oh, you couldn't give me that much. That's too much. Try it with me, people. No. Get it rid of the idea that anything is too much. And it's not too much for you, ever. It's not too much. Why? Because you're part of God. You see? You deserve that. So, get rid of that word, too much. All right. I'll open it up for questions.
Yes? You must be rubbing off on us somehow, because I made a deposit this afternoon with unexpected money, and it was $475.
See that?
It was just weird. It just kind of came over the week. I'm completely convinced a lot of the times. I have a P.O. box that's about 5 miles from my home, and I just purposely have all the checks sent there and most of the boring stuff sent to my home. And I will drive there if I'm going to go out of my way, completely, 100%, absolutely convinced good stuff is going to be in there. And most of the time it is. If it's not money for whatever reason, it's something cool. But sometimes when it just is not, I'm completely convinced it is, it's really hard for me to go, oh, well, it'll be there tomorrow or something like that. I most of the time go, ah, geez, will you just send it already? And some of it might be money that's actually due, that's been taking a long time or whatever. And so I'm trying to find a better attitude of when it actually isn't. Because mm-hmm. I'm completely convinced it is. And when it's not, I'm trying not to just get so hard down about it.
So how do you think you're going to go about that? Try Nike.
Just do it?
Just do it. Just do it as you're driving there. See, and if it's not there, say, ha ha! Tomorrow, a bigger one will be there.
Yeah, I like that. That's good.
Tomorrow, a bigger one will be there.
Okay. I had a couple of situations where I have some surprise offers for some interesting work. And I was getting to the point of negotiating the price. And I kept saying, I didn't really come up with a figure. And I got an email yesterday from the guy who wants to hire me with an amount that was a little bit more than I thought. And all of a sudden, I went, well, wait a minute. This is, it's like, it was almost the too much thing. And then I caught myself, like, I mean, I really had to do this dance in my head about deserving that, you know, yes, things are expanding and things are growing and more is coming. And when it shows up, I go, it's like I almost want to push it. Wait a minute. I'm so used to being at this other level.
Yes. So you caught it. You're aware.
Well, I know, but it's really a mind.
So now you've caught yourself. You're aware. Now you stretched your consciousness. Once your consciousness is stretched, it never goes back. So you say to yourself, I've learned the lesson. Now I'm going to tell you a cute story.
What do you mean in terms of?
You learned the lesson that you're going to always ask for what you're worth. You see, you undersell yourself.
Yeah.
Why do you think you do that?
Were these old tapes?
Yes.
Were they not worthy of?
So now you say all those tapes are smashed and demolished. They no longer exist in me. All right, here's the story. And this will fix you for life.
Oh, good.
a young lady was in Europe, and she thought she noticed somebody very famous. And she went up to him and said, "Are you Pablo Picasso?" And he said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Would you do a little sketch for me?" So they went off to a little coffee shop, and he sat there and he did a little sketch and handed it to her. And she said, "Well, I want to pay you for this. How much is it?" He said, $5,000. She said, $5,000? It only took you 15 minutes to sketch this. He said, "No, madam. It took me 80 years and 15 minutes. Why am I telling you that? Because you undersell how much knowledge you have. You think you just started yesterday. You've been in the business long enough. You know more than anybody. They must pay you for your knowledge. They must pay you for your knowledge.
Yes. Oh, yes.
80 years and 15 minutes. I am worth $5,000. Not because I'm Picasso, but I studied for 80 years. You must pay. You must get paid for your knowledge. You must get paid for your education. You know damn well you know more than most people when it comes to music. They must pay you for that. So start remembering that.
Okay. Just can I get one other quick?
You may.
So another flip side to this was that I got asked to coordinate an event for a well-known musician who passed away. In the desert this weekend, and they're willing to pay me, and I quoted them a price, and then I said that because you are good friends and she was a good friend, I give you a discount. And then I thought about that, and there was a greed thing. They went, "Yeah," the woman that I'm working with said that, she could, that was fine, and she appreciated it. And I said, I realized I could have asked for so much more.
I felt like
I
do that all the time.
And yet, it's a friend, and it's a,
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Well, stop it! You're underselling yourself. You're underselling your thing. And what good does it do you to say that? They had the money to do it.
I was being noble.
Oh, yeah. Give up that damn idea of being noble.
Not noble.
No, noble. People love
giving.
Yes, and now God will like me better. And now you
or
see.
Or I'll get another reward.
But do you,
or something like that.
Yes, but now you see what happens. As soon as you do that, you regret it. And then you start to say, but a fool I am, and this, that, see your mind.
But where does the greed?
The mind tricked you right away. There's no such thing as greed. Give it up.
Yeah, it's partly that, what you're saying is, feeling noble and knowing the rewards are coming. It's partly being afraid of losing the gig. That's what I come across. Saying,
because if you don't lower your price, they won't take it.
It might be too much, but lately I've noticed people are crying this and that economy, and I don't want to lose it, So at least I'll definitely guarantee something.
I
get that a lot.
All right, now let's talk a moment about this economy. Don't never allow that. If you buy into that, now you're buying into it, and you're being convinced by the world. You're not lifting those people up by coming down to that. They have the money. The money's always there.
Yeah.
Money is never the issue. So when they tell you that, did your gas prices go down? Did anything else go down in your life?
No.
All right, then why are you doing
it? It's got
that?
More. No.
Why are you doing it? See, you're not going to do it anymore.
No.
And you're not going to do it anymore.
No. As a matter of fact, lately I haven't been.
Good. You can't, you see. Why are you going to buy in to what the world is telling you out there? Now you're on the same bandwagon as they are, and you just dropped down from a consciousness of cause and effect to a consciousness of the law of averages. And that's where most of the people live, in the law of averages. You don't want to live in the law of averages. The law of averages say 1 out of 10 people will die of something. And where does everyone jump? To the one person that's going to do it. You never jump to the 9 that aren't. Can't live in the law of averages. You have enough knowledge, charge for it. Remember, Picasso, 80 years plus 15 minutes.
Okay.
That's why it's worth it. You understand that now, too?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. Questions? Well, I'll take an answer. Everyone's good with their money? Come on. No. Go ahead.
I'm reading this book called The Manifesting Your Desires.
Mm-hmm. Who's that by?
Somebody Myers, based on Abraham.
Oh, Abraham Hicks?
Right. Based on the teaching that Abraham says.
Well, Abraham's a disembodied spirit, right. You know, or a speak through that Esther and Jerry Hicks use.
Esther and Jerry Hicks, yes. And it says, it's so exactly what you say. It's startling. It doesn't say anything about science of mind, but it is.
Well, yes, because science of mind is a blanket thing. It's all metaphysical.
So I loved what I read the other day. It said the universe is expanding, and you are expanding, so it's impossible for there to be a lack of anything.
Yes.
So the only thing that's causing any sort of lack is your belief.
Yes.
But it says it's also not enough to believe yourself. You have to not have any resentments towards anyone else having anything, because you have to realize that there's enough for everyone. So, I have a person in my life who won't name names, but let's just say I used to be married to that person. And I really feel like, we got signed a divorce a couple of weeks ago, and I really felt like that was a great stepping off point and putting it all in the past, but I still feel like tentacles. And I don't want to feel those tentacles. I want the best for her, and I want the best for me, but I just want her to go away.
All right. Then love, bless, and release her. And watch her walk into white light. And every time you think a tentacle's coming out, what you do is you pull those magic scissors out and you chop the tentacle.
And not feel guilty about it.
Didn't we have a whole thing about guilt?
Yeah, you can't.
And you'll never feel guilty about anything you do. Guilt is a man-made trip. It's not an innate feeling or emotion. It's a learned feeling, guilt. You see? Animals don't have guilt till they come around humans, and then we shame them into guilt. Shame and guilt, get rid of them.
My cat doesn't have any guilt. She'll bring the bird in and eat it right in front of me. And she's
go ahead.
Walking and
well, see, isn't that wonderful? Because you don't yell and scream, don't do that. So.
Another question I had was, my inheritance that I'm still waiting for to come.
Yes.
Everyone's telling me that it's coming. But, we talked about this many times, but you said, picture it already happened, so I'm picturing it already happened and let go of it.
Yes.
But I have to keep nudging them, because if I don't bug them about it, it's been January. They promised me the money in January. It's August.
Oh, you're talking to a lawyer or directly?
Well, my brother.
Directly to the source.
And my lawyer. Yeah. I don't talk to my brother.
Well, you may talk to your lawyer and ask what's going on here. But what I'm saying is, don't dwell on it morning, noon, and night.
But I'm trying to affirm that. I'm trying to live in the space that it's coming, and I'm planning what I'm going to do,
Yes, keep planning, yes. And
but
give
I still
up.
Have to keep emailing my
I think the last time we talked about this, I told you to give up the idea of waiting.
Said that it's already happened.
It's already there. It's already happened. But you keep saying, I'm waiting for this money. I'm waiting for this money. So the universe says, he's waiting for the money. He's waiting for the money. He's waiting for the money. The trick of this whole thing of metaphysics, and I know that rubs everyone the wrong way. Sometimes it rubs me the wrong way. Because you're asked to believe that it is already here, even though he's waiting for it. It has not arrived, but you have to act as though it has arrived. You have to believe that it has arrived, and you have to give up the idea that you're waiting for it.
So I should go shopping for my new truck?
You could go shopping, but don't buy it.
And they call my credit card and say, the money's already here, well, they'll have and they want the money.
No, you have to. Now, you see, this is how people get themselves into trouble with this teacher. You act as if you go out and you do all that stuff. You get, go and look at every truck, get all the information you can. That will help prime the pump, you see. But if you're waiting to do all that stuff till you get the money, you're probably never going to get the money. You see, that's the little rub with this metaphysical teaching. It's because everything is done in the now. You can only think in the now. You can't think yesterday, and you can't think in the future. You can only think now. All power is in this moment. You're saying? So you have to see yourself with the money right now, and you have to get the feeling of what that will feel like. So if you go looking around for trucks and do the other things, it will stimulate a feeling, and that feeling will go out to help attract the money to you. You see?
I'm picturing my credit cards paid off.
Yes. And you know they're going to be paid off.
My truck is broke down. It's like on its last.
Well, then go out and start looking.
Yeah.
And prime that pump and do all that. But you have to get rid of the idea of waiting. I know that that doesn't make sense. Because your mind says, well, you don't have it, you don't have it, you don't have it. That's just when you have to say your mind, shut up. This is when you have to go to this whole thing of faith and so forth. This teaching, science of mind or metaphysics and so forth, people use it all the time when things are going their way. As soon as things don't go their way, they throw it out the window. And they revert back to the way they used to think. And they revert back to what the world is telling them. Don't revert back. Stay the course. But do something to get your feelings. Look at those trucks and so forth. Love, bless, and release your brother. Learn to love him. The other thing that you said about not resenting other people, why can't we resent other rich people, or why can't we resent anybody? The reason we cannot do that, because there's only one. And your mind doesn't know when you resent somebody that you're resenting them. You're resenting yourself. You never think outside of your mind, people. Your mind doesn't know that there's anybody but you.
Wow.
You know, if you say that rotten son of a bitch, your mind says, oh, that's right, you're a rotten son of a bitch. It does. It doesn't know you called somebody that. It only knows you called yourself that. So that's why we praise other people. That's why we're glad when other people succeed, when other people get money. Why? Because as Laurie would tell you if she didn't get up and leave, what God has done for others, God can do for you. You can do this and more. So you have to clap your hands when somebody does something and say, oh, thank God, if they can do it, I can do it. Because we're all one. We're all one. And we keep forgetting that. That's the way that one's done. Did that help you at all? Go start looking for that truck and get that feeling. Because the energy that you're putting out at the present moment is not good. The energy you're putting out has resentment to it. So you don't want that type of energy in your body. So go change that energy by looking at that truck and getting excited and getting enthusiastic, which is, I'm sure, a Greek word, which means God is in you. Enthusiastic. Enthusiasm. When you get enthusiasm, it's God in you. So get enthusiastic. Okay? Look, I got enthusiastic about those little figurines and Zippo. I could have them if I wanted. I may get them. Question? No? You look like you have a question. Oh, well, tell us.
Well, I asked to be in a class and was interviewed for it, and then during the interview I accidentally said a lesser class, and they said, sure, you can do it. So I went into it, and then I realized it's not the right class for me, but I didn't want to ask to be in the more superior class because I thought, oh, they won't let me, or I'm not good enough, I have to prove myself. And I even had validation from another teacher say, don't do that because they won't let you, and all of the above. But in my head, I knew I was meant to be in that other class and that I had asked for it. So what happened was I started to feel more and more unhappy in the class that I was in, and I called the owner of the school, which I didn't even know was the owner of the school, and I said, you know, I'm going to put my membership on hold. And he said, why? And I said, well, because I'm not happy with this class, and I'm not finding that it's not quite a good fit. So let's meet. So we met and we talked. And I didn't ask to be in that class, but he suggested, why don't you go into this class? I think it's a better fit for you. And it was the class I originally wanted. And plus, I'm going to give you a scholarship for a month. I didn't have to ask. And I got a scholarship for a month, and then he said, plus I'm going to book you in the work you want to do in the class. Just go through me, and I'll get you in there. So it was good. I was a little afraid to ask for what I wanted, but somewhere I knew what I deserved. And it happened, and it manifested anyway, so I was very grateful.
Yes, but you see the hesitation right away because she thought everyone would think she's superior. How many people in their life got from their parents, don't be a show-off? Don't rock the boat, don't be a show-off, don't do... Yes, we all got that little message, and that's what you got from your... Don't be a show-off, don't do that, don't draw attention to yourself. Please, people, draw attention to yourselves. Show-off, my goodness. You're radiant beings. Why wouldn't you want to show off? Why wouldn't you want to be spectacular? Who wants a humdrum life? Does anyone want a humdrum life? Well then, you have to start to show off. I have a wonderful thing that I always use, and it is this. Be bold, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Always be bold about everything, and mighty forces will come to your aid. Yes. Think of yourselves as wonderful human beings that can have anything and do anything that you want. Don't let your mind talk you out of it. Laurie's mind tried. Your mind tried. Your mind immediately said, oh, they'll think I'm superior. But if, and then the doubts come in. Maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I'm this. You see, always know that you're good enough. You wouldn't be placed in the situation you're in if you weren't good enough. You have to know that. You're always in your right place, doing the right thing, and saying the right thing. You have to know that about yourself. So, use those things. It's always going to boil down to what? Your belief system about yourself. Am I worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and do I matter? Your money will do that also. What is your belief system around money? Is it always there for you? Has it always been there for you? So come up with what you want. Make it your world. Remember, you don't have to live in my world or my universe. You live in your own, and you make the rules of that universe. Why can you make the rules of your own universe? Because you're a god of that universe. So you may make the rules that you want. In my universe, that doesn't happen. It happens in maybe other places, but not in my universe. Remember when I had this eye operation and they said, you'll have a big scar? And I said, I'm sorry, I don't scar. There's no scar there.
Where is it?
Now, if I joined their universe, there would have been a scar. One of your teachers tried to talk you out, saying you weren't good enough. You can never listen to anybody else. Listen to yourself. What other people think about you is none of your business. Know that you are the wonderful person that you are. And stick to that. Don't let the world convince you. You left the world convince you that it's an economical day at times, so maybe they don't have the money to pay for you. If they want you, they'll pay for you.
Yeah, I've been finding that lately. I even though needing the money, sometimes have just said, no thanks.
Yes.
That's not good enough for me. And I lost the gig completely to somebody that is, I think, overall more fielded in the business, and I don't know why they're taking a discount. But then a week later, I booked a big old fat one that he wouldn't have gotten.
Yes. So. And that's what you have to know, the next thing. Why do we have to know about life and your life? You're always moving from your good to your greater good. You're always moving from glory to greater glory. So when one thing goes, you have to know, huh, the next thing is even going to be better. And it will always be better for you. But we use these things like, well, I don't take this gig. Then you worry, oh, I'll never get another one. You have to know I'm not taking that because they are not paying me what I am worth. And the more you take something and lower your standards, the universe lowers it also. You only get what you think you're worth, you're saying. If you keep discounting yourself, the universe keeps discounting you. Don't do that to yourself. You have the knowledge, you have the intelligence, you have the creativity, that you have the talent, you have all the things that are needed. So when somebody asks you, what are you worth? Tell them, here is what I'm worth. And if they say, oh, I can't pay you that, say, well, thank you. And the next person will pay you. But if you always stay at that level of discounting yourself, that's what you'll be known for all over the industry. You can get him cheap, they'll say.
Yeah.
Get him, he's cheap. Do you want to be known as cheap?
No.
No. Well,
I want to be known as expensive, but worth every penny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other questions? We could turn the lights on.
I just had a comment that is okay real quick. Okay. One of the things you were saying over there hit home quite a bit was you were talking about, you know, your inheritance and the things coming and whatnot. And a few months ago I do magic for a living, and I had a client bounce a fat check to me, and I was really I was very angry and felt that wasn't the case. And so I talked to Dallas about it. Anyway, I decided in the long run, I took care of the necessary paperwork and the people that left over to handle their things, and then I just kind of let it go. Now, it's not nearly the amount of money that you're expecting, but I let it go, and I see that it's going to be a financial reward when I'm least expecting it. And I do have to drop an email from time to time, but as soon as I do that, I kind of forget about it. I don't know if that'll help or not, or if it's something that you can forget about. That was one thing. And the second thing I was going to mention, I don't know if this helps or not either, but about 4 years ago, I divorced my wife, too. And that was very, very difficult, especially with the tentacles and being connected. And one of the things that I kept in my mind the entire time, and the way she handled the divorce was very poor. One of the things I kept in my mind the whole time was, I stood one day in front of God and made all these vows and stuff to promise to her all these things, and I fell in love with her and married her for a reason. Somewhere in her, she still has that, and I'm going to love her regardless, even though she's done all these garbagey things. And every time I cut her off or cut this off or cut that off, I felt very guilty. But in the long run, it turned out she's become extremely successful. I don't talk to her very often anymore, but as of 4 years later, just like 2 months ago, I cut her off from the final thing. I cut her off my AAA membership, finally. And I thought I was going to feel guilty, and I felt terrible and all this stuff. But I found that what made it easy was I just, no matter how bad it got or now, how matter ugly she got, I remembered I was with her for a long time, and I made those vows because she's special and wonderful. And I didn't, and I just blindly cut the tentacles one at a time and decided I'm just not going to feel guilty about it because I can't. And sure enough, she's gone on to do great things, and you know, we see each other from time to time, we get along fine, we're friends, we don't hang out all the time, but you just have to remember that commitment you made and kind of use that as the love to let it go. You know, it's hard, it's very, very difficult, but you gotta be strong, you know.
But that's driven, and that's what counts. The answer is always going to be love, people. Always going to boil down to love. You know, so I always say to myself, why don't I start there? Why don't you start just with love? You see, our mind wants to go every which way. Oh, well, I'll try this, I'll do this, I'll do that, da, 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 da. It's always going to be love. The answer is always going to be love. So sit down, love yourself, and then love other people. And it all, love the person who owes you money. Love your brother who owes you money.
Yeah.
It's love that'll bring it to you. Not resentment, not hate, not stomping, and not calling lawyers. So, money is consciousness. It's your consciousness. You decide how much you are worth. And you decide how you're going to get wealthy if you want to be wealthy. And you don't have to follow anybody else's program to do that. You have to follow your own by coming up with a belief system. So sit down and say, what do I really believe about money? Do I believe that it's always freely circulating my life? Do I believe that I will always have enough money to take care of myself for the rest of my life? But if you're already planning not to have enough money for the rest of your life, in your mind with little thoughts keep coming up, then that's going to happen to you. Because the whole thing boils down to what you think about, you bring about. So think money. And say to yourself every day, money, 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 money. I love money and money loves me. I am a money magnet. Money cannot resist me and I cannot resist money. And it's wonderful. And so are you and so am I. And therein's the lesson. Thank you.